Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host Dee Boggetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Hey, Bark Radio listeners. Okay, here's the deal. Terry went to a really cool conference last weekend. And oh, by the way, I was supposed to be there, but you know, thanks to United Airlines, I wasn't. At any rate, Terry, tell everybody where you were.
Well, I was in Rhode Island, which is the first time I've been there. All I saw was the airport and the hotel, but it was nice what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
It was at the International Association of Animal Behavior Consultants Conference.
3 days.
3 days. Highly recommend it. It was some of the most enjoyable 3 days I've ever had in dog-related field. It was top quality speakers, top quality content. There was so much going on. At one point on Saturday, I just finally, it was like 7 o'clock. I went back to the room. I was exhausted, and they were still going. They had a big banquet going on.
Jeez.
And all kinds of stuff. Like, I am so freaking tired. I got to go to bed.
Yeah.
I just went up and crashed for a while. But it is quite the to-do. There was probably 350 people there.
So not huge, but nice.
But it was nice. It was a nice enough size. Mm-hmm. You had enough people. It wasn't overcrowded. You still could talk with folks of mm-hmm. different areas. Surprisingly large number of men.
Really?
I thought I'd be the one, but I bet you 25% were men.
And, you know, Terry and I have been to a lot of training, just straight dog training related conferences, seminars, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And those are always majority women.
Yep.
But now, do you have a feel for the area of expertise of most of the people at the conference? Were there some trainers, some behaviorists? Were there vets?
There were two vets that identified themselves.
Okay.
Everybody seemed to claim both trainer and behaviorist.
Mm.
Again, they were doing sort of on day one. They were doing sort of a hands raising thing.
Right.
So that's kind of, you're kind of looking at who's who.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who had what certifications or training. They didn't get into that.
But it was mostly dog professionals.
All dog professionals. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there wasn't anybody from the outside.
No. Okay.
Fascinating stuff. And 3 days worth of information. It's hard to do it in 15 minutes. But some of my favorites revolve specifically around animal-assisted therapy. There was one gentleman there who I'm not recalling, and I don't have my notes. I wrote his name down, but he actually calls it animal intervention therapy, and he works with at-risk youths.
Does he?
And he said he worked with animals before there was a name for that field. He's been doing it almost 40 years.
Oh, cool beans. And that's one of your areas of interest.
Right.
Is kids like that.
Yep. And he's working a little bit different. So his is a wide scope of kids. Some of his stories were around one girl that was a cutter. She mm-hmm. was a preteen, early teen girl.
Mm-hmm.
He works with kids with autism. That's one of his specialties.
Is it?
It was really fascinating. And he talked about not only the success, some of his fears of the industry, which was actually quite interesting, because what he's afraid is that the animal-assisted work is being oversold. And all the, these are my words, all the ooh-ah moments, all the really mm-hmm. special, amazing mm-hmm. breakthroughs are the ones where the focus is. It's not on the everyday minor breakthroughs, mm-hmm. and that's where the focus needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
He said because there's a lot of little hurdles before you get that major break.
Oh, and absolutely.
So that was very interesting. Then he talked about retirement for animals, service animals, because he had specifically one of his favorite dogs went through quite a lot of stress not going to work with him anymore.
One of his therapy dogs.
So it was interesting. He's quite the character. He's he really, if you want to think of something that's completely different in the world he worked in compared to where he came from, didn't have his first dog till he was an adult. His mom was afraid of everything. Every animal possible was afraid of. Tried to get a gerbil at home and his mom was freaking out that it was a rat.
Wow.
Overprotective mother, definitely. Just going through that. And so the fact that he does the animal work he does, it's kind of crazy.
And kind of amazing, and he was obviously meant to do it.
Yeah.
Way cool.
Yeah, one of the things that's really fun, I'd love to go to his office just to see this. He says, but the way, I mean, he has multiple animals there. He has one wall that's a huge aquarium, and the middle part is a terrarium with lizards. And he uses all kinds of animals. So depending on what's going on, he had a rescued, I forgot what type of lizard it was. It was a medium size, like 8-inch lizard, that had been abused. A human had cut its tail off at a point where it couldn't grow anything back. It wasn't one that would drop the tail. So he had this tailless lizard that he actually utilized with kids that were cutting themselves.
Very cool.
So it was kind of interesting. But the greeter is his cockatoo who walks out through the doorway and says, come with me, and then walks back down the hall to the office. And I'm going, oh, crap, that's very cool.
That will get your attention. Can you imagine walking in there the first time with your kid?
And here comes this bird down the hall.
That'll completely take you out of yourself.
Yeah.
The kid especially. Isn't that amazing? That's brilliant.
It really is. And he'll have multiple dogs there working, and they have multiple rooms, and it's his practice. He does do a little bit of teaching because he enjoys that, but he says it's primarily his private practice is where he focuses. Multiple service dogs, different types of service animals. It's a menagerie. I mean, he's got, I think, 6 or 7 dogs now. All of them work or had worked with him.
Wow.
And, you know, he's got staff that just takes care of the animals, so dogs get a lot of breaks. He was talking about that, and giving the dogs personal time. So
they have to have that.
You know, the petting and the grooming outside of being therapy, playing with the ball, that type of stuff. So he has staff that just does that.
Because it can be stressful.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he was fascinating. He was he had some amazing stories. Wow, there was so much. There was one person that talked a lot about homemade food, raw food, cooked food, semi-cooked food, commercial food.
Conclusions? Did we have conclusions?
Well, no.
Okay.
I had to think about that because there was a lot of data, but she left it up to your conclusion.
Which is the way it's been for a very long time. It makes me crazy.
The one thing that was interesting is she said that there's a lot of studies going on with the raw food industry. Raw food right now makes up about 1% of the total multi-billion-dollar dog food and cat food market. And there's a lot of interest in it. She said that there used to be primarily 4 factories that made all the dog food. Mm-hmm. And in 2007, when they had the outbreak that a lot of dogs got sick, some dogs died, that caused a lot of spin up of small manufacturers. And those are the ones making the higher quality stuff using, she didn't like the term human grade ingredients because she says there's no such thing.
But better.
Right.
High grade ingredients.
High grade ingredients. She was very big on made in the U.S. ingredients.
Yay! We know that one.
Yeah, and she was calling. That was the only time. She was very politically correct, trying not to call anybody out, but she did call China out on the crap they produce.
Yay!
So apparently that was a hard enough spot for her that she was like...
Willing to say it out loud.
Yeah, willing to say that out loud, put some skin in the game. So that was good. Some fascinating videos. And there was stuff that I had never, ever imagined you could do. Including training giant hissing cockroaches to run an agility course.
Ew! Sorry.
They didn't have them there. They just had videos.
Wow.
It was... you just went, holy crap. And it was lure-based, but the cockroach would learn to run the course and then get the treat at the end.
Wow.
And I didn't think they were that advanced.
I didn't either.
They also had, and they actually had hands-on, I didn't stay for this because I had to get back, they had hands-on hermit crab training, which I didn't know you could train.
What do you train them to do, pray tell?
The obstacle courses type thing.
Wow.
It's their, I don't know to what level you can take it. I saw things that I didn't believe was possible, so they probably can build a rocket at this point. I don't know. They one of the things that was really interesting that this particular speaker was showing, and she was the one talking about a lot of these more simple creatures and the behavior modification you could do. Excuse me. And they showed training one of the gold bug-eyed goldfish, you know, the ones with the big eyes, mm-hmm. to go swim through hoops. And they were, you know, started with one hoop, and they had a stick with a extendable treat on it. And so they would mm-hmm. lure it through. Had it so it would do seven, eight hoops, and the treat was at the end. This is a goldfish, and they say goldfish don't have a very long memory. And so everybody's oohing on that they even trained this fish mm-hmm. to do it. And then when they cut to the end of the video, it was a 12-year-old girl that taught it to do this.
Really?
I was like, wow, do I feel stupid.
Bless kids, because they don't know that you can't.
Yeah.
So they just assume you can.
Yeah. So she said
she was bored, probably. I can't look at what I trained my fish to do.
Yeah.
Mom.
Yeah. And I was like, there was a gasp.
Yeah.
All these professionals, and this little girl has taught a goldfish to swim through hoops. It was impressive. I went, wow.
Wow.
So that was good. I mean, it was just, if you're in the dog world, even if you're not a professional trainer, you can get something out of this conference.
So we'll put the link up to the organization.
Yeah.
And it's an annual event, and maybe we'll see you there next year.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to hit it again next year. It was wow.
It sounded wow. All right, guys.
All right, see ya.